Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's reading is about being kind and generous from Luke chapter 6, verses 32 through 38. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive payment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again.
Instead, love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be the children of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked.
Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned.
Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give
will be the measure you give back.
Thank you, Rick, and may the Lord add blessing to the reading of the Holy Word this morning. This morning we continue going through the fruit of the Spirit. There are nine, and we'll be done before Christmas. Don't worry. Now, we're doing five and six today. Being kind and generous. I'm not going to ask you ladies which one you think the men in your life should be most aware of, which one they need the most help with. But we're talking this morning about kindness and goodness. And goodness is more properly translated as generosity, because that is the intent of the original word. And the teaching here is simple. Give freely to everyone, even those who don't deserve it. Oh man, I hate that last part, don't you? You mean I've got to give freely of mercy and goodness and generosity? I need to do this for everyone, even those who don't deserve it? Yes, that's what Jesus said. And He said the reason we have to is because this is the way our Father has treated us, and this is what has drawn us to Him, is His generosity without judgment. We'll talk a little bit about tithing, which I know is a very popular subject. Everybody wants to hear sermons on tithing, you know. But anyway, there were two men that crashed a plane, and they ended up on a deserted island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. They both survived. But then right after this happened, one of the men walked around the entire island and came to the conclusion that there's nobody there. There is no food and there is fresh water. He goes back to where his friend is and he says, I've searched the entire island. I haven't found any food or any water. We're going to die. The other man says, don't worry. I make $100,000 a week. It's going to be okay. Yes, but don't you see there's nothing to eat and without water we're doomed. Like I said, he said, I make $100,000 a week. Don't worry. I'll be home. We will be home in a day or two. Why in God's name do you keep saying that? I mean, do you think you're better than I am? How is your money going to help us get our way out of here? As the other guy sits there, he's just leaning back against the wrecked plane, and he says with a smile, he says, you know, every Sunday at church, I put my tithe check in, 10% of the $100,000. That's $10,000 a week, just like the Bible instructs me. He says, I guarantee you, come Monday, my minister will be looking for me. Got four questions for you this morning. Where is your heart and where is your treasure? Where is your heart? What do you love? What do you spend your money on? Where is your treasure? And the other two questions, where do you spend your money and where do you spend your time? Jesus is speaking here about being kind to everyone and generous to everyone. I hate that everyone part, don't you? No, I don't. I mean, I'm getting to love it. I'm getting to understand that, you know, that we all need that. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus also tells of this woman who puts two copper coins in a collection box, and he says, this is the last of her money, and she puts it in the church collection box. And what does Jesus say to his disciples? He says, I tell you that all of these people have given thousands of dollars, but this widow has given more than anyone else here today. Why? Why would he say that? Because it's true. She gave everything. So we should not judge on the amount that people give because we don't know their circumstances. I was going to make a joke about Kenyon's boat, but I'm not going to do that. So Jesus summarizes his teaching like this. When he summarizes it, he says, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. In other words, he's saying, this is God. This is what God does. Now follow suit, because you are God's kid. Okay? So if you are going to be a Christian, then act like Christ. If you're going to say that you're a follower of God, follow God. You know, my grandfather used to say, you know, John Boy, he says, in our family we do things a little different from everybody else. And he said, yeah, Grandpa, what's that? He says, now you make sure when you're dating a girl, he says, I want you to know something. He says, we don't smoke, drink, or chew, or go with girls who do. And he told me lots of other things. At any rate, but isn't that true? If we are God's kid, we should act like it. If we're a Lawrence kid, if you're a Smith kid or whatever, you see some family traits. What Jesus is saying here is if we are God's kid, we should act like it. Now, we've been going through the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. I just love self-control. I just don't have enough of it. Okay. But this morning, we're speaking about number 5 and number 6, kindness and goodness. But goodness, again, is more like generosity, the way Scripture uses it. So this is the intent of Paul's writing in Galatians 5:22 when he talks about goodness. And that's where we're getting all of this from, of course. And then Jesus is expounded here in Luke chapter 6 on that very same thing and emphasizing that we should be generous with everything that we have. Be generous because God is generous. The Bible also speaks of God as giving every good gift to us. Now I want to give you some statistics. I'm going to give you the top 4 topics in the Bible. And I'll give them to you I'm not going to give them to you in order. Okay, so there is love. So the Bible talks about loving, about giving, about praying, and about believing or faith. What do you think is number 1? Well, just like Casey Kasem, I'm going to count them down for you. And if you don't know who Casey Kasem is, then that's okay. You're younger than I thought my audience was. So anyway, here we go. So number 4, with 272 entries, is faith, the topic of faith. Number 3, with 371 entries, is praying. Okay, so it's down to loving and giving. Number 2, with 714 entries, is loving. Are you mean to tell me, Pastor John, that the Bible taught God's more interested in giving than He is in loving? Well, giving and loving go hand in hand, do they not? Love is in there 714 times, it's number 2, and giving is 2,152 times, almost 3 times as much as love. Now think about it this way. You can give without loving, right? But we can't love without giving. If you love someone, you're going to give. Right? You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And you cannot love without being generous. Love gives. That is just the nature of love. And I'm going to prove it to you this morning. I want you to complete this very famous verse for me. God so loved the world that He... He gave. That's what love is all about. It's about giving, right? It's about giving. You know, there's a lot of things going around in the world. And generosity is simply love in action. Generosity is simply love in action. Do you love the Lord? Are you stingy with your money? Those two things don't go together. God loves a cheerful giver. That is Scripture. A lot of people talk about love, a lot of people talk about love, but they're really talking about something else. And in popular culture, they have these songs that are going around, they call them love songs, but they're really lust songs, aren't they? Because they're talking about, you know, baby, I want you, you know, and you make me feel awesome, and I want you. But that's really about lust, right? There are a lot of songs on the radio are not love songs at all. They are lust songs. You see, because lust is about getting. I want her, or I want him. Lust is about getting, but love is about giving. Love is about giving, as we have just proved with the Scripture. Pastor Rick Warren says that there are three great traps that cause Christians to fail in life. Well, all people, actually. Number one is deceitfulness. Number two is boastfulness. Number three is selfishness. So if you are deceitful or boastful or selfish, now we all have those characteristics built into us because we are born in sin, but we are to turn them around with the fruit of the Spirit. Pastor Warren also shares how to have anointing of God in your life. In other words, how to have God rule your life and to give you peace and power. The three antidotes or the three cures for being deceitful and being boastful and being selfish are these: integrity, humility, and you guessed it, generosity. Integrity. We need to be honest. We need to be tendable, be dependable, true to our word. Number two, humility. We need to be meek and modest, not arrogant and not prideful and not rude. And we need to be generous. We need to be giving more money or time than people expect us to. We need to be giving more money and more time than people expect. And here in this passage, Jesus instructs his followers to love their enemies. Three things. He boils it down to three things. Number one, love your enemies. Number two, do good. Number three, lend without expecting anything in return. The Bible has 7,000 promises, and I call them recipes because they really are. They're conditional. Every promise, that's because every promise in the Bible has a premise. Say that three times fast. Every promise has a premise. Every promise has a premise. Blah, blah, blah. There are more promises related to generosity, however, than any other subject in the Bible. And if you're stingy or know somebody that's stingy or miserly, then this is for you. And I'm not pointing fingers, okay? Because we all got enough people in our families like that. So how can you be generous? Well, obviously, we'll talk about money. But we can be generous with our time. We can also be generous with our money. We can be generous with our energy. And I like these last two. I like all of them. But we can be generous with our praise. You know, my father used to say, when you talk with someone, he said, find something to compliment them about. He said, some people you have to look a long time before you can find something to compliment them on. But at any rate, that's what he said. Be generous with your time, your money, your energy, with your praise, and with your talent. What gift has God given to you? What do people tell you you're good at? Now, my wife... How many people Can I get an amen for the chocolate chunk cookies? Okay, it's amazing that I don't weigh 300 pounds. I mean, seriously, because those things are good. But she has a gift for cooking and baking, and she has other gifts that I don't need to tell you about. But she is because I don't want her head to get so big that. Just kidding. She's awesome. She is perfect for me. She balances me out with all of my quirkiness. And she keeps me going on the right path. And I'm sure none of you have figured that out yet. Right? Okay. Okay. All right. Sometimes it's hard to love and to give here on planet Earth. But we love because He first loved us. And when we experience His transformational love, when we are born again, when we truly feel God's presence and peace and love come over us, then we love because He first loved us. The Bible says that, and so the Bible expects us to know and to have experienced this born-again experience, to have experienced God's love shed abroad in our hearts. You can call it whatever you want, being born again, being born of the Spirit, whatever you want to call it. But we are changed when we encounter Christ and we experience His love. Did you know that generosity honors God? Why? Because we're God's kids. People are watching us. Hell, you go to church and you did that. So if you did do that, I would, and somebody may have seen you, go ahead and apologize before they get to you. I speaking from experience, that's all I'm going to say. Generosity honors God. It is an act of worship. It recognizes that everything that you and I have is a gift from God. And when we are generous, people say, "What the heck is going on over there? Why are they so generous?" Our generosity attracts people and it draws us closer to God. People notice. So those four questions I asked you at the beginning. Where is your heart? And where is your treasure? Some of you have car collections. And I don't mean like little matchbox car collections. Some people who are friends of mine have car collections that are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. But where is your heart? And where is your treasure? Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your money? Now get this. The reason I'm asking is this, because Jesus said this: wherever your treasure is where your heart is. It just naturally follows. So wherever you spend the money, every week, every month, take a look at your bank account, your credit card statement, your checkbook. Where did you spend your money? That's where your heart is. Where is your love? That's where it is. Your heart and your love are wherever you spend your time and your money. So who did you love last month when you look at your bank account? We've read in the scripture about generosity. And He has called us to act on His generosity. Be like your Father in heaven who gives to the unjust. He lends to those and is very patient. He lends to those who cannot repay Him. This morning, we're going to celebrate Holy Communion. And communion celebrates the kindness and the generosity of Jesus our Lord. He gave everything, more than we even know. He gave His life, yes, but what did He give up in heaven? To come down here and give us this new life. And He loves us. And He says, this brother of ours, this brother Jesus, our Savior and Lord, He says, now you have seen what I've done. Now follow me. Follow in my footsteps. And give and love like nobody's business. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, We love you so much. We know that what you say is true, and we just need to start taking baby steps. And as the Roman centurion said, Lord, I believe, help now my unbelief. Lord, help us to speak with brothers and sisters, to speak with the pastor or the pastor's wife or someone who seems to have their spiritual stuff together. Help us to learn from each other and grow and enjoy life so much more than we could without you. Lord, in these moments of Holy Communion, we pray especially for your presence to be with us and that we would know it and feel it in Jesus' name. And all God's people say,